These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord 89.1.
WEVS Nashua 88.3.
WEVH Hanover 91.3.
WEVN Keene 90.7.
WEVC Gorham 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Canoy, and this is The Exchange. Bike sharing programs have taken off in cities along the East Coast, in Boston, New York, D.C., and elsewhere. Here in New Hampshire, several cities have bike sharing: Portsmouth, Hanover, Laconia, and a brand new program in Manchester. Elsewhere in the state, though, the concept's been slow to gain a foothold or a wheel hold. The trend in several other communities is to encourage cycling through other means. And it turns out a lot can be accomplished with a bucket of paint. But bike friendliness doesn't work everywhere. There are lots of challenges, ranging from bad weather to bad roads to a lack of public interest and public funding. Today in The Exchange, boosting Go By Bike. Why some communities are trying and why others say it's not worth the effort. Let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. We have four guests with us in studio. Larry Keniston, Intermodal Facilities Engineer for the Rail and Transit Bureau at the New Hampshire Department of Transportation. And Larry, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you, Laura.
Also with us, Benji Ambrogi, longtime cyclist who has biked to all 56 Episcopal churches in New Hampshire and who participates in ultra-distance rides. And Benji, it's really nice to meet you. Thank you.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Will Stewart, chairman of Bike Manchester, president of the Greater Londonderry Chamber of Commerce. Will helped implement the new bike share program in Manchester, and Will will definitely talk about that. Thank you for being here.
Appreciate the invitation.
Also with us, Paula Bedard, avid recreational and commuter bicyclist from Goffstown. She's a certified safe cycling instructor and a board member for the Bike Walk Alliance of New Hampshire. And Paula, welcome. Good to see you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, Paula, I want to start with you. According to the League of American Bicyclists, New Hampshire is pretty far behind its neighbors in terms of being bike friendly. We're number 27, so middle of the pack nationally, but around New England, Massachusetts, number 4. Wow. Maine, number 15. Not bad. Vermont, number 17. How fair do you view this, Paula?
I appreciate the statistics that LAB puts out, and, you know, 27th nationwide, meh. There are pockets of brilliance throughout the state. Many cities and communities have really stepped up and gone the extra effort to become really bike friendly. And that's, you know, mostly because the communities are speaking out. It's what they want.
I love that description. Meh with pockets of brilliance. Why the meh?
Well, we have a ways to go. I think a lot of people are unsure about cycling as a mode of transportation. The rail trails are really popular, any of the bike ped paths. People seem to prefer those, you know, for safety reasons. They're more scenic. They're excellent transportation corridors. I use a rail trail to bike to work. Families love to use rail trails. They're really safe for their children. It's expensive to build some bike infrastructure. So the funding aspect is, you know, really a huge, it can be a really huge reason for some of the, you know, difficulty in putting bike infrastructure in place. But it's not always expensive.
Well, in Massachusetts, number 4. Now, you know, in one sense, you could say, okay, they've got all those colleges, you know, all those beautiful colleges in the western part of the state and Boston, obviously. But what else does Mass have or do that we don't? Well, or Maine or Vermont, for that matter.
Yeah, I think just the population is part of it. You know, New Hampshire's a more rural state. You know, our biggest cities, you know, like Concord and Manchester, you know, in between those other communities in different parts of the states are really small communities. Some of them are hard to get to by bike, rural roads, mountainous roads, you know, in some cases, a lot of dirt roads.
Although Vermont and Maine, you'd think, would have the same thing. We're pretty much alike.
Yeah, right.
Well, let's dig our other guests into it. And I think I'm going to turn to you next, Benji. Again, speaking of someone who has biked on a lot of those rural roads, what do you think? Why is New Hampshire kind of middle of the pack when it comes to bike friendliness?
Well, I think, so contrasting it to Massachusetts, which you mentioned before, in Massachusetts, I think you have more of a biking culture there, particularly with all the colleges and the students.
Right.
And so you just have more people that are naturally traveling on bikes. And so that just builds momentum. And so they're naturally going to provide more bike lanes, more bike paths. For me, one of the biggest things is pavement quality. The quality of the roads makes a huge difference in how easy it is to ride someplace or not. And here in New Hampshire, I think the state roads are actually pretty good. On my distance rides, you know, I generally would stick to the state roads, and they're good. But the back roads oftentimes, or the city roads in Manchester, is particularly tough. Just lots of potholes, lots of just dug up streets, repaved, and it's just really hard, and you're just getting bounce down the street. It's very frustrating. I will say that the bike lanes in the bike paths in Manchester are just fantastic, and that's a great addition. I'd love to see more of that. One of the things I think we need to do, though, is we put in these bike paths, we also need to plan for maintenance of the paths. And I find paths anywhere that I ride, after 4 or 5 years, they often have tree root bumps and just things, they start to decay. And I think it's harder, as hard as it is to get funding to do the paths initially, it's probably even harder to get funding to maintain them. People assume they're kind of one and done, and that's really not the case.
Well, and recognizing your obvious bias, Benji, why does it matter if New Hampshire's sort of in the middle of the pack? I mean, you could go, all right, well, that's decent. Who cares?
No, I think it's really important. I think that if we want to attract people to come live and work in the state, we need to be friendly to bikers. It's a draw, just like anything else, just like people flock to the Boston area, and that's probably one of the reasons. That's part of the quality of life is bike friendliness, and I think that in New Hampshire it is important that we also build our quality of life around that as well.
Well, Will, I'd love to hear from you on this, because even though we invited you mostly in your capacity as chairman of Bike Manchester, you are president of the Londonderry Chamber of Commerce. So what's the sort of economic argument around this?
Sure, it is economic development. You know, Benji mentioned the bike trails, and just to get outside of Manchester for a second, if you go down to Derry, Londonderry, and Wyndham, you have what's becoming the Granite State Rail Trail, which is running right through. And the longest section of paved rail trail in the state is actually between Derry and Wyndham. And there are businesses on Broadway and Derry, there's one, in fact, named the Grind Rail Trail Cafe, that's capitalizing on the traffic that's coming through. And, so I think it's a great economic development tool. And, the key, now we have all these people on the trails for all the reasons that Paula mentioned, but now we need to make the streets a little bit more bike friendly to get those folks off the trails, onto the streets, and more of them into our Main Street businesses.
And, you know, again, we can talk about Massachusetts, obviously lots of colleges and a big city. So, you know, that's a natural for bike friendly, but we're not that different from Vermont and Maine. Why do you think they stack up better than we do?
It's hard to say. I've been very much focused on really Manchester bike things, so I hesitate to venture too much of a guess on those other states.
Well, and in a few minutes, we're definitely going to talk more about the new bike sharing program in Manchester. I have a lot of questions about that. But Larry, go ahead. What are your thoughts on this question?
Well, I have a note here. Robert Messenger from New York City, he allowed me to use his name. He wrote to me unsolicited. He said, I look forward to the new set of maps, adventures in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a wonderful state, and you have the most bike-friendly roads and drivers in the nation, he says.
Really?
Yes. So I think the rankings, a couple of things about the rankings. One thing, they really don't focus on pavement quality. There's a list of 200 questions that the League of American Bicyclists asks every state bicycle and pedestrian coordinator in the country. And on those 200 questions, they really focus on not so much pavement quality. They don't focus on trails. What they focus on is your state rules, for example, your state laws. How do they favor or privilege motorists or bicyclists or pedestrians? They also look at state policy. They look at the way the funding for the state highway program goes, how much of that might be dedicated to a bicycle and a pedestrian infrastructure. And they also look at on-road riding more than path riding or more than trails. On-road is really the only way that bicyclists and pedestrians can get to meaningful destinations, places that really matter. So I think part of the issue here is that they're looking at different things, at least this particular questionnaire. And plus, I think since I started this role as New Hampshire DOT's state pedestrian and bicycle coordinator, we were in the single digits when I started. And I've been answering those questions the last several years, and I have someone helping me do that. We also have partners that help me answer the questions. But I think that we've been answering the questions a little more honestly, perhaps, than they were answered in the past. So that may be part of it. We're trying to be a little more transparent about what the correct answers are.
So some questions about whether they're measuring the right stuff.
Yeah, I believe they are measuring the right things. That's from my experience. So that's really not an issue. But part of it is just how honestly we answer the questions as well.
The exchange number for you to join us with your questions, and we'll answer honestly, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Today in the exchange, we're asking, how bike-friendly is New Hampshire, and how much does it matter? Again, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange at nhpr.org. And all of you, I want to return to something that Paula mentioned right at the outset. One of the things that keeps people from biking, especially commuting by bike, is safety. And give us a little bit more on that, Paula. What particular aspects of safety are people worried about?
Well, you know, I think they're worried about anything that involves a collision, either, you know, with a motor vehicle, you know, parts of the road, debris. You know, I think the ability just to control your bike and to know how to ride in traffic safely is really important. It's not always intuitive what's the safest and best thing to do. So I teach a variety of classes. I mention that because a lot of people don't even know that that exists, that there are classes you can take on safe cycling. I teach various sessions. I teach to children, adults, various communities. Companies sometimes reach out to me, and I'll go and do like a learn at lunch session. So a variety of classes on safe cycling. There's also tons of resources, literature out there that's available to learn safe cycling techniques.
So what's the sort of number one mistake that a lot of cyclists make in terms of not following the rules for their own safety?
Right. So the number one thing, I think, is visibility and also understanding the rules of the road. As a bicyclist, you're legally responsible to abide by the rules of the road, just like a motor vehicle driver is. So that means if there's a stop sign as a bicyclist, you're 100% required to stop at a stop sign, just like a car is. The rule is no different for a bicyclist. Similarly, for example, riding the wrong way down a one-way street, it's the same rule for a bicyclist.
Ooh, so, guilty as charged. go ahead, Paula.
Yeah, so, New Hampshire DOT just recently updated the bike safety brochure. It's available in a variety of places on websites, but it provides a really nice summary of the rules of the road for both bicyclists and motorists for sharing the road.
You know, Larry, how do you feel about, I know it's against the rules, but about bicyclists biking on the sidewalk? Now, obviously not downtown, but, you know, if there's nobody else on the sidewalk, given what we know now about distracted driving, there's a big rise. Everybody knows a cyclist who's been hit by a distracted driver. How do you feel about people biking on the sidewalk?
Riding,
especially kids.
Operating a bicycle on a sidewalk is illegal, and there are no exceptions in New Hampshire state law. Even young children technically should be traveling in the location that's assigned to them. So, which is to the right as far as practicable, and with a lot of exceptions, including if someone's behind you and there's an opportunity to take a right turn, for example. You have a right to be in the road. You have a right to leave that area just for your own safety, to protect yourself from, say, a right hook. So, as far as very young children, if they're going at walking speed, I don't know that any law enforcement agency in the state is going to ticket anyone and tell that child to get on the road. But more than likely, that child is with the parent who is walking beside them if a child is not old enough to actually be out in the traffic. So, it's illegal. Now, the important thing on the sidewalks is it's not really about the bicyclist, it's about the pedestrian. It's about making the pedestrian feel comfortable that there is not going to be someone coming up behind them on a bicycle. We want to encourage pedestrian activity at least as much as we want to encourage bicycle activity. Pedestrian and transit activity is by far the most space-saving way to move a lot of people very efficiently. Bicycles come in a kind of a third. And then way behind that, of course, is your single-occupant vehicle. So we really want to kind of prioritize pedestrians over all other forms of transportation. We certainly don't want to be bicycling on a sidewalk.
Well, what kind of safety concerns, Will, came up when you were starting to get this Bike Manchester bike sharing program going?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I run a group called Bike Manchester, which is the city's bicycle advocacy organization. And our mission is to get more people riding bicycles more often. And it's kind of a chicken or the egg scenario that we're up against oftentimes. You know, people will say, oh, well, you know, the city's not bike friendly, so I'm not going to ride my bike. Of course, the only way to change that mindset sometimes is to get more people on bikes so that people see it. It is an option for people like them. They want to see people like them on bikes. And, you know, no offense to Benji over here, but a lot of the, you know, kind of mentality that people have of bicyclists is, you know, lycra clad Tour de France, you know, types, you know, zooming by at high speeds.
I just want listeners to know Benji biked 14 miles here from Manchester in his lycra. And you look great, Benji. But yeah, there's that stereotype of that sort of aggressive racing bicycler instead of, you know, your average sort of person just tootling it downtown or to work.
Right. So that's why, you know, Bike Manchester started, you know, almost 4 years ago to kind of, you know, change that narrative a little bit. And I previously worked in downtown Manchester, and of course I live in Manchester, and I would drive, you know, ride my bike to work. I lived at that time about a mile and a half. I would ride exactly as I'm dressed right now, which for the listeners is a suit and tie. And I noticed that, you know, I'll also ride my bike, say, to the gym, and I get much different reaction from motorists.
Depending on how you're dressed.
Correct. And I find that I get a little bit more leeway when I'm, you know, dressed more professionally. And if I wear a bow tie, I pretty much practically get the lane to myself.
Wow.
People are just so surprised. So with regard to your question about the bike share, there was, you know, some skepticism. You know, will it really work here? Is, you know, Manchester bike friendly enough?
Is it safe enough?
Correct. And I think that, you know, the answer is yes. There's certainly, you know, as Paula mentioned, education to be done for both bicyclist and motorist. And I will mention, too, that, you know, I really hate for these debates to be bicyclist versus motorist. You know, most of us we own vehicles too. I have, you know, three vehicles parked in my driveway every single night. I drive too. Drove here today. You know, so it's really about, you know, educating both. But really, the more bikes we get out there, the safer it is for everyone, the more regular and comfortable it becomes.
Well, and Benji, I'll get to you after a short break. This is The Exchange on NHPR. Let's check in with our summer car raffle.
Bicycle, bicycle. Bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.
You listen to NHPR for facts, context, and to better understand the world around you or the town next door that has a new bike share. And listener support makes everything you hear on NHPR possible, including the program you're listening to right now. And we're asking you to show your support by picking up a couple of car raffle tickets during the finale of our summer car raffle. And then you can just sit back and imagine yourself winning $25,000 toward a brand new car of your choice. And the best way to get your tickets is by going online to nhpr.org. I'm Hannah McCarthy, and with me here now is Michael Brindley.
And we're listening to The Exchange, and what a perfect topic for today. We're talking about bicycle culture here in New Hampshire, bike friendliness, bike shares. So really a great way to celebrate biking here in New Hampshire, and what better way to get in on that is through our summer car raffle. And one of our prizes that we're giving away tomorrow at 9 is the Trek Bike and Rack System. So this is your last exchange for the week where you get in on all of our prizes left for the summer car raffle. This is the finale of our summer car raffle. So pick up a few tickets right now. It's one for $50 or three for $100. It's a great deal. You can give us a call, pick up a few tickets at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
And I want to tell you a little bit about this Trek bike. It's our third prize this year, and it's a great third prize. It's, you know, fast, comfortable, it's agile, and you can use it for anything. You know, you can use it for fitness, for commuting. So, you know, you're running an errand, you can use this bike, or just taking a casual ride on a Sunday afternoon. You can do all of this. It's a Trek FX2. But you know what? Let's say you're going on a road trip and you want to take your new bike with you, or you decide to bring your bike to a new section of some trail you haven't gone on before. Well, if you win this bike, you're also going to get a Yakima rack system for your car. So you get to carry that new Trek bike around. You'll have your choice of roof rack, hitch, or hatch system for your car. It's your choice. And we're choosing the winner Friday. So that's tomorrow at 9 a.m. So please don't wait. This is one of your last chances to get your tickets, and you can get those online at nhpr.org.
In today's political landscape, you hear a lot of those heated debates about the future of the country and our collective movement forward, and you know that you can rely on programs like The Exchange to help make you part of those conversations. It's an opportunity for you to call in, talk about your thoughts, ask some questions of people who are making big decisions here in New Hampshire. There's really no other forum like that in New Hampshire, and I get to see the work that goes on here every single morning, the research, the preparation that goes into these shows. It's really kind of amazing to watch. And all of that costs money, that takes time. And we rely on listeners like you to step up and go from being a listener of NHPR to a contributor of NHPR. And this is really the fun chance to do that during our car raffle, because you know you can walk away with some fantastic prizes. You get your name in the hat for some amazing prizes, including, of course, $25,000 towards a new car of your choice. That's the big prize. That's Saturday at noon. But you're listening now. Now is the best time, really, to get a few tickets. You can do that by giving us a call. The number to do that is 1-888-805-6477, or pick up a few tickets online at nhpr.org.
And another important thing that we're doing today is announcing the names of our two early bird winners. Now, of course, anyone who is buying a car raffle today has unfortunately missed that early bird special. But we do have our winners, Mary Danka. And the second lucky winner is Dan Serrato. And both Mary and Don, I'm sorry, that's Don Serrato, will be receiving $2,000 in gas gift cards each. So Mary and Don, congratulations. So do something else nice for yourself this summer. Get entered to win some fabulous prizes, including $25,000 toward a new car. It could be you that we're calling with some fantastic news and announcing your name on the air. And it's easy to do that. You can call us at 1-888-805-6477 or go to nhpr.org to get those raffle tickets.
And I got to say, I'm a little jealous of those winners. $2,000 in gas gift cards, that's fantastic. Unfortunately, I'm not eligible. The employees here aren't eligible, but you are. You're a listener. You're a fan of NHPR. You tune in regularly. You're listening to The Exchange right now. A fantastic conversation on bicycle culture here in New Hampshire. Bike shares are popping up everywhere. Got rail trails. I just went on the rail trail yesterday in Derry and through Windham. It was a great day for a ride. And you could get a brand new bike if you call right now with some tickets. Trek bike and rack system could be yours. That's one of the prizes we have left in this finale of our summer car raffle. So give us a call, buy a few tickets, support NHPR. The number to do that is 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
And you know, each ticket is a chance for you to win any number of really great prizes. We've got, you know, of course, that grand prize, that $25,000 toward a new car of your choice. We've got this great Trek bike and rack system. You can check out the same trail that Michael was riding, and I can't wait to do it myself. And we've also got a Neki kayak and a paddle. So these are some really great prizes, and it's really simple. It's $50 for one ticket, 3 tickets for $100, or 6 tickets for just $150. That's a great deal. So do the math. Get those tickets for yourself. The more tickets, the better the deal, obviously. Get yours at nhpr.org.
And again, it just takes 2 minutes of your time. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. Buy a few tickets. It's 3 for $100. You can do that at nhpr.org. And good luck.
This is NHPR 923. Good morning. Cloudy for today. Some showers likely and a chance of some thunderstorms with high temperatures low to mid-70s. It'll be mostly cloudy tonight. Chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some of the storms could have some small hail and gusty winds. Lows tonight, upper 50s to lower 60s. It'll be mostly sunny for tomorrow with high temperatures mid-70s to lower 80s. Saturday, a mix of clouds and sunshine. High temperatures in the mid-70s. And on Sunday, it'll be sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from New Hampshire Humanities, announcing author and Harvard cognitive scientist Steven Pinkner as its annual dinner keynote speaker on October 25th. Details at nhhumanities.org. And from Squam Lake's Natural Science Center in Holderness, holding daily up close to animals presentations to bring visitors nearer to nature. Open daily. nhnature.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, with several bike share programs now up and running in the Granite State, including a new one in Manchester, we're looking at how bike-friendly New Hampshire is. According to one national ranking, we're okay, not great, especially compared to our neighbors in northern New England. What do you think? And does it really matter? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And Benji Ambrogi, I definitely wanted to get your take, too, on what we were talking about before the break. And that is, a lot of people say, yeah, I might commute by bike or I might, you know, run my errands downtown by bike, but I'm afraid. What are your thoughts on that as an avid cyclist?
Well, the comment I wanted to make was picking up on what Paula was talking about with regard to following the traffic laws. I think a lot has been stated about the tension between cars and cyclists. And my thought is, if cyclists really want the respect of people in cars, they need to follow the rules. And I think that's one of the things that gives sort of cyclists a bad name, is people running stop signs, riding the wrong ways, you know, shooting through intersections, running red lights, et cetera, and riding unpredictably, which I think is something that frustrates cars, car drivers. And so we really, as a community, really need to follow the rules and ride in a way that is predictable in the way we're supposed to. And then we have a right to say to automobile drivers, hey, give us a break here. But until we do that, you can't have a double standard there.
Although sometimes I have observed automobile drivers don't understand the rights of the cyclist who is following the rules, and they think, hey, you're in my way. And, you know, somebody in a pickup truck just yesterday gave me the finger, you know, just because I was biking along. So I hear what you're saying, but there's sort of an unequal balance there. You're vulnerable, you're out on a bike, and somebody else is in a, you know, two-ton pickup truck.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. And clearly there are some car and truck drivers that really just don't understand or don't have the right, I don't know what the word is, the right sense about this. But that clearly is a problem. It's an educational problem and a cultural problem.
Okay, so speaking of safety, here's an email from Tom in Rye that just came in. He says, does your panel have any statistics on the role distracted driving plays in biker safety? Tom says, I periodically biked 14 miles to work for 25 years until I gave it up 2 years ago due to all the texting and otherwise distracted drivers that I have observed. Tom, thank you so much. I have observed it as well. What do you know about this, Paula?
Well, we do know that, you know, collisions as a result of distracted driving are certainly up nationwide. As bicyclists, we just need to be even more careful, even more aware, more safety conscious, keeping your speed down, being as visible and predictable as possible.
And not biking on the sidewalk still?
Well, you know, we know that, you know, there's a law in the state of New Hampshire, and many states have that same law about, you know, restricting bicycles on sidewalks. But we also know that sometimes the sidewalk is the safest place for you to be, depending on the environment and the situation.
All right. Well, Tom, I'm sorry to hear that you stopped biking. What would you say to him, Larry? You know, he stopped biking because he's just worried about it.
Well, New Hampshire recently passed a hands-free law that it says that drivers may no longer text and talk, or even talk on the telephone on a handheld device. So we think that's really helpful.
Do you think has worked? I still see tons and tons and tons of people doing it.
It's a ticketable offense, and when the law was first rolled out, it was enforced very strongly with very little leeway. And in that program, I think we'll continue. I've spoken to some state police folks and the Department of Safety, and they're insisting that that law will be enforced, and that's going to happen. So whatever you're seeing today with folks still holding cell phones, I think is going to you're going to see that go away very quickly as enforcement steps up.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the email, Tom. And I think everybody on this panel hopes that you get back on your bike. Let's go to our listeners on the phone. Alex is joining us from Rochester. Hi, Alex. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm so glad you're having this conversation today.
Good.
I'm so excited to hear it because I'm a cyclist myself. And one of the things I was hoping to discuss and have your guests comment on is the idea of it's called the 3-foot rule, and there's an actual New Hampshire statute, New Hampshire RSA 265-143-A, and I don't have it right in front of me. I know the number by heart, but it's basically stating that a motorist needs to give a cyclist at least three feet of passing distance when passing a cyclist. That's at like 30 miles an hour for every additional 10 miles an hour. So if a motorist is going 40 miles an hour, it needs to give an additional foot. So it would be like 4 feet at 40 miles an hour. At 50 miles an hour, it would be 5 feet passing distance. And motorists aren't always aware of that. It's a really, it's not just a matter of convenience. It's a matter of safety, sometimes a matter of life and death. If a motorist passes a cyclist too closely, because sometimes there's debris in the road, sometimes a cyclist has to avoid a sewer grate that's too deep in the road.
Sometimes you don't want to be right by the side of the road, Alex, because there's, you know, potholes and cracks and drains and so forth.
Yes. There's one more thing to that, one more component, and that is that motorists aren't always aware that my understanding is the law is written in such a way that it is legal for a motorist to cross the double yellow line in order to give a cyclist enough passing distance. And some motorists will just gun it and they don't care. They're just not aware.
Well, thank you for the call, Alex. And he mentioned this law. I got a comment from Philip on Facebook, who says, please make sure to address the clearance required between cars and cyclists mandated by the same law that you mentioned, Alex, RSA 265-143-A. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, Alex, there's no specific exception in the law that specifically allows, in the centerline law, that allows motorists to cross the centerline. However, you have the 3-foot rule, so 3-foot plus rule, I would say. So you're talking about a motorist going 40 miles an hour, which is pretty typical almost on any rural road you're going to be on. They obviously have to cross the center line. They need, if they're going to pass you, that is, if they're going to choose to pass you. So Ashto says a bicyclist needs 5 feet minimum, or 5 feet of operating space with really 4 feet minimum. Now you're adding 4 feet to that space for the clearance. So your cyclist is essentially using up 8 feet of a paved lane that might only be 12 feet wide.
Yeah, it seems a little unreasonable,
there's
right?
There's simply no other option at some point. And the law is written such that you could possibly see the cyclist or even a pedestrian walking along the side of the road as a quote, obstruction. But the other law I want to point you to besides RSA 265-143 A is 265-37, drivers to exercise due care. So that's notwithstanding any other provision of the law, a driver sees a vulnerable user like a pedestrian or a cyclist, they need to use due care.
Let's take another call. Alex, thank you for that one. Carlo's in Dover. Hi, Carlo. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to suggest that signals for bikers turning left and right or moving to the medium might be taught in driver's education, a page or two. I've had some close calls, I think, because of ignorance of these signals.
So you as a cyclist were making the signals, Carlo, but the drivers didn't know what you were doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thanks for the call. And I'm going to turn to you, Benji, on that. Do you make those
absolutely.
Classic
I
hand signals?
I think that's one, talking about riding predictably. I think hand signals are one of the most important things. The one thing I don't do is I think the classic hand signal for making a left turn is you put your hand up in an angled shape. I just point with my other hand. That hand signal, I think
it looks like stop.
It looks like stop, and I think it's really designed. It was originated at for car drivers who didn't have signals in their car, and the only hand that was out the window would be the one that actually it's for making a right turn. You put your left hand up at an L, and people on the air can't see that I'm actually doing that here in the studio. but I just point very deliberately, whichever way I'm turning. I think that is the most important hand signal that you can use. And then the other one is for stop. You put your hand down. Also important, but I don't think you have as many situations where that's critical in traffic because you're off to the side.
Paula, does driver's ed include a section about treating bicyclists safely?
My understanding is that in the state of New Hampshire, driver's ed classes do include some level of instruction about how to share the road safely with bicyclists.
All right. Well, thank you again for the question, Carlo. And Larry, real quick?
Yeah. First, Benji, the signal method is very clear in New Hampshire law for a left turn. It's an outstretched arm. And really outstretch that arm very, you know, in an exaggerated way. Make sure it's horizontal. Try yourself in the mirror. Look in the mirror and see if you're really clearly defining that. And New Hampshire law also, unlike other states, only allows a raised left hand for a right turn signal, whether you're a bicyclist or a motor vehicle. Some states have an exception for bicyclists, just like some states have an exception in their 3-foot law specifically to allow the crossing of a double yellow line for
Carlo,
cyclist.
Thank you for the point. And a couple more emails have come in. And here's one about Manchester that I want to throw to you, Will. This is from Derek in Manchester. He says, there is demonstrated evidence from around the country and the world of economic, congestion mitigation, public health benefits that bicycle infrastructure provides. Yet, Derek says, the city of Manchester doesn't seem to take it as seriously as a transportation mode. Biking is hidden on the city's own website as a, quote, recreation team activity. Derek asks, how do you convince Manchester city leadership to invest now and invest seriously in bicycle infrastructure? And Derek, thank you so much for the email. And Will, I know you have some thoughts on this.
I do. And I think it's it really comes down to making the business case, you know, for it. We can talk about health. We can talk about, you know, better air quality. But I think it, you know, if you want to move policymakers, it has to be about dollars and cents. So you have to demonstrate that cyclists do spend more than motorists in local stores. You know, that properties with bike amenities and on, say, with streets with bike lanes have higher property values, which increases the tax base, which allows, you know, to lower residential rates and, you know, things like that. And, you know, if I might bring it up, it's I'm running for Ward 2 Alderman this year in Manchester, and that's one of the reasons I'm doing that, is to make the city more bike-friendly, recognizing that it still has a long way to go.
So that's the case that you made when you helped put forward this bike share program in Manchester. This is going to mean more people stopping by your bookstore or your coffee shop.
That's exactly right. And, you know, one of the reasons it initially got started, a woman named Carol Gaiman approached Bike Manchester, and she was a liaison between the YMCA and UNH Manchester. And they were wanting it down at UNH Manchester, which is in the Mill Yard. They wanted the students to get up to the YMCA where they had you know, privileges to work out. But they were finding that even though as the crow flies, you know, maybe a quarter of a mile, it was difficult for the students to get up there, work out, and get back in a timely manner between classes. So they thought that, well, hey, you know, they don't want to give up their parking space, you know, in the Mill Yard to go up downtown. Maybe you can find a parking space nearby. Maybe you can't. Either way, you're going to have to pay for it. And good luck finding one when you get back. So hop on a bike, be up there in just a few minutes, you know, cruise back down. So that's kind of how it all started. And it's really, you know, continues on that route now.
Go ahead, Paula.
Yeah, another reason why I think bike share and just, you know, bike commuting, biking in general is popular in cities is because of the parking issue. Motor vehicle parking spaces are at a premium. I worked in the Mill Yard area in Manchester for years, and if you did not get your car into work before 9 o'clock, you did not get a parking space because the car parking lot was full. I frequently rode my bike into work, you know, for many reasons, health, save money, but also because I knew there wasn't going to be a car parking space for me. And I think that's the same issue why students want to use bike share and people visiting the cities is because you just don't have to deal with the, you know, incredible lack of space for parking motor vehicles.
Coming up, I want to ask all of you a little bit more about the bike share program in Manchester and some of the other ones around this state, including Hanover and Portsmouth and Laconia. This is The Exchange on NHPR. Let's check in with our summer car raffle.
I've got a bike, you can ride it if you like. It's got a basket, a bell, and rims and things to make it look good. I'd give it to you if I could, but I borrowed it. You're the kind of girl...
NHPR is your community radio station. We can only stay that way with listener support, support from listeners just like you. Support NHPR today by getting in on the finale of our summer car raffle. It's one of the really fun ways you can support public radio here in New Hampshire because you can be in the running for a lot of fun prizes, including, of course, our big prize, $25,000 towards a new car. Get your tickets now at nhpr.org and you'll be entered to win one of our prizes remaining in this summer car raffle. You can also give us a call at 1-888 805-6477. I'm Michael Brindley, along with Hannah McCarthy.
And, you know, that show that we're listening to right now, The Exchange, is a great example of what your support brings to you here on NHPR. We're learning about the new bike share in Manchester, and we're learning about, you know, how to bike safely, and then also how to drive safely, given a biking community. And what is your state doing to facilitate a cyclist community? And, you know, what could a bike share do for you and for your state? And, you know, we're just asking you to take 2 minutes to keep stories like this that are keeping you informed about your state on the radio. Your support is what makes this possible. You can buy your car raffle tickets now at nhpr.org, or you can give us a call. We're at 1-888-805-6477.
And get your tickets to the summer car raffle now, and you are eligible to win our Trek FX2 bike. It comes with a Yakima rack system, but you choose a system that works best for your car. Maybe you're going to be on the road. You can use it for a roof rack, a hitch for your car. It's up to you, but none of that choice is not going to be yours if you don't get in on the running now. And so now, while you're listening to The Exchange, a show happens to be about bike culture here in New Hampshire, bike shares, bike safety. What a fantastic time to get in on these prizes. You can give us a call today. The deadline for that drawing is being drawn tomorrow at 9 o'clock a.m. So this is your last exchange before that drawing is done. And of course, we'll be doing drawings throughout Saturday as well through the rest of the prizes. So give us a call right now. Get in on all of the prizes left. You can buy 3 tickets for $100 at nhpr.org or by giving us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
And, you know, it's not just that we're providing you great programming like The Exchange. It's what The Exchange does, which is allows you to take part in these conversations about your state. It's you, the callers who we hear on the air, asking questions, helping to drive the conversation one way or another, because this is your public radio and it's your way to stay relevant, to stay involved in your community, in the conversation. And, you know, it gives us the opportunity to learn what's going on where you live, what we need to report on, what matters for your community. And there are so many ways to be a part of that conversation. And one really important way is for you to call us right now with your support to keep that conversation going. And you can, you know, get those tickets by calling 1-888-805-6477. You can also go online to nhpr.org.
Summer is a great time to celebrate the outdoors here in New Hampshire. I spent yesterday riding the rail trail on my bike from Derry down to Windham on the Derry and Windham rail trails. It's a fantastic afternoon, and that could be you. You could have a brand new bike. Maybe it's time for a new bike. What better way to get that? The real deal is $50 for one ticket. You could walk away with a brand new bike, a Trek bike and rack system, or up your odds by 3 for $100 or 6 for $150. That's up to you how many tickets you want, but just get one and you are in the running for all those prizes, and you're supporting public radio here in New Hampshire. It's a real win-win, and it's a real fun way to support NHPR. You can do that now by giving us a call. The number to do that again is 1-888-805-6477, or buy a few tickets online at nhpr.org.
And you know, NHPR, it does bring you breaking news and coverage of politics and government officials, but you're also getting stories about the culture of New Hampshire. You're hearing stories from our state through our podcasts. You can listen to The Exchange as a podcast. You can also, you know, learn about Bhutanese refugees growing organic produce in Bedford. That's in our Foodstuff series, or Trailblazers in the White Mountains, thanks to NHPR's podcast Outside In. And the voices you hear on NHPR make that possible. You make that possible. And the best way to support NHPR is to go right now and get yourself a few raffle tickets at nhpr.org.
And it really, really does just take 2 minutes of your time. We'll get back to The Exchange soon. But right now, before then, give us a call, buy some tickets, have some fun, head into the weekend the right way. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. And good luck.
This is NHPR. It's 9:43. Cloudy for today. Some showers likely with a chance of some thunderstorms. High temperatures, low to mid-70s. Mostly cloudy tonight. Chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some of the storms could have some small hail and gusty winds. Lows tonight, upper 50s to lower 60s. A mostly sunny day for tomorrow with high temperatures, mid-70s to lower 80s. For the weekend, Saturday, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs in the mid-70s. And on Sunday, it'll be sunny with high temperatures in the upper 70s. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from Prescott Park Arts Festival, presenting the Riverhouse Restaurant Concert Series with Canadian indie rock band The New Pornographers this Friday at 7 p.m., prescottpark.org. And from Portsmouth Christian Academy, launching a new water quality monitoring weather station and underwater robotics program. More information at pcaschool.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, with several bike share programs up and coming in the Granite State, including a new one in Manchester, we're looking at this question: how bike-friendly is New Hampshire, and how much does it matter in terms of transportation and economic development? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also find us on Facebook or Twitter. By the way, I also want to let everyone know we're talking Monday with New Hampshire U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan. So we'd love it if you sent us your questions for Senator Hassan in advance. Email exchange@nhpr.org or Facebook or Twitter, NHPR Exchange. Your questions and comments about bikes right now, though, 1-800-892-6477. And all of you, before the break, we were learning more about Manchester's new bike share program. And I wanted to ask a couple more questions about that and learn about some of the other programs around the state. So, Will, back to you first, again, as chairman of Bike Manchester. How did you get this thing funded?
Begging. I mentioned before the break a woman named Carol Gaiman. So she and I have been going hat in hand to businesses and organizations around the city. We went and Carol met with the mayor and said, great idea, but there's no city funding available for this, so good luck. So we took that as our mission, went out and sang for our supper and ended up getting corporate and organizational support for these stations, which I'm told is different from the other bike share programs in the state. And I could be a little bit off on this, but I'm told that the bike share program in Portsmouth is funded with parking fees, parking revenues, and that in Hanover is funded by Dartmouth College.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So how many bikes do you have?
We have 30 bikes.
Oh, that's a lot.
And six stations. We'll have a seventh station coming online in September, the first one on the west side, outside of CMC Hospital. Right now, they're mainly kind of concentrated in downtown in the Mill Yard, with one in the north end of Manchester, right by the Puritan back room.
And who is this aimed at? Is it aimed at sort of that person you described before, the student who wants to work out at the Y but doesn't have that much time between classes? Is it aimed at tourists? Is it aimed at, you know, longtime city residents? Who is this aimed at?
All of the above. It's, you know, we really think that it's really going to take off, and I have some stats and numbers already. It's been in operation for not quite two months so far, but we think it's really going to take off when the college students, you know, come back to town. And as you know, or you may know, that Manchester is the largest college town, you know, in the state. We have more college students here. And so when the NHIA, you know, UNH, SNHU students come back, you know, we definitely think it'll be targeted toward them. But also, yeah, the tourist. You know, we have a station right near the Radisson Hotel, you know, that, you know, visitors can hop right on, you know, ride around. Downtown and Mill Yard office workers, again, mentioning, and students being able to go back and forth between the two without losing their parking spaces. And longtime residents. I was dining outside with my family on Elm Street on July 4th and saw, you know, what appeared to be just, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, cruising down the street, just having fun. And that's part of what it is about, too. The station near the Puritan back room, of course, is right across from Livingston Park, which has a great trail around Doors Pond. And people will, you know, hop on, you know, ride around the pond and then come back and, you know, consume some of the calories they burned eating ice cream at the back room. But it really is for everybody.
So did Manchester, once you guys got this going, and I recognize it's new, did Manchester, the city, undertake efforts to improve the streets, at least in terms of, you know, getting out some paint and, you know, restriping it? I know in Concord, there's been a big effort to repaint streets with saying, yo, this is a bike lane.
Yeah, a lot of progress is being made. I wouldn't say not necessarily as a result of the bike share program, but kind of in tandem and in conjunction. The city's, you know, getting ready to come out with a new bike ped master plan. They recently released a number of kind of riding routes that one can take, various lengths and difficulties. And, we, you know, the Department of Public Works now has kind of an unofficial policy where if they're resurfacing and restriping streets, you know, if there's sufficient width, you know, they'll go ahead and stripe a bike lane. You know, that's why Manchester residents will know you'll see bike lanes, you know, kind of here and there, you know, rather unconnected, you know, a mile here, a mile there, sometimes six blocks here and six blocks there. But it's really, you know, I say the perfect is the enemy of the good. It gets people, and people will ask me, well, that bike lane on Chestnut Street is only six blocks long. I'm like,
There used to not be a bike lane on Chestnut Street.
But so. As a former community organizer, I can tell you that, you know, I love seeing those things like that that just irritate people because that gets them asking questions. And the more people we have asking questions, why aren't there more bike lanes? Well, the more we'll have.
I love your observations, Paula, on bike share programs in general. And if you have any specific thoughts on some of the other ones around the state, Laconia, Portsmouth, Hanover.
Right. Well, I think the business community, it's also attractive to, you know, people who are traveling from out of state, business travel. A lot of times you might not want to go to the bother or expense of renting a car while you're on a business trip. You can just hop on a bike share and get from, you know, wherever you need to be, you know, within the business district. They're really convenient for that. Traveling, you know, my husband and I like to travel to lots of places, and whenever we get the opportunity to be on a bike, we like to do that. So, you know, maybe if you're traveling to another city and you want to check it out by bike, you could come to Manchester's Bike Share or any of the bike share programs and try it out, see how they work. It's really interesting to find out how the bike shares programs work. And then, you know, when you're in some other city, you could hop on the bike share system there because they all work pretty much the same way.
Will, did you want to jump back in real quick?
Yeah, I just wanted to tack on to what Paula was saying, that it's a great idea, and it's super cheap. I mean, in Manchester, you can buy an annual pass for $30 and or, you know, $2 an hour. So it's great to just, you know, hop on, try it out, you know, see what you think. But with regard to the business case, I think it's worth noting that when Carol Gaiman and I are out talking to potential sponsors, one of the things we're hearing from particularly larger employers, I'm thinking of the McLean Law Firm in downtown Manchester and both CMC, the hospital on the west side, you know, they see it as a talent recruitment and retention tool. You know, for them, you know, the station outside of McLean is right there, and they know that when they're hiring, you know, new law school grads, they want them to see that bike share station right there. You know, for them, it says, you know, Manchester, because they're competing. You know, we're all competing with
Boston.
Gives the
city a coolness factor.
Right. Yeah. And it does. And, you know, that really helps. So for them, it's a human resources deal, too, in addition to marketing.
I got a couple emails here on our earlier conversation about safety and some people who have concerns about how bicyclists act and how motorists act. Vicky says, I was nearly killed twice this week. Yikes, Vicky. By trucks not giving me right of way or enough room on the road. How about using the electronic signs in the highways to educate drivers about rules regarding cyclists in the road? Vicky, thank you for the email. I'm glad you weren't killed by those trucks. Any thought about that? That's I'm guessing that electronic sign space, Larry, is at a premium.
Yeah, we get a lot of calls for pushing that use of electronic signs for this kind of messaging. However, we're very careful to make sure those electronic signs are used only for messaging that is directly related to what the driver is encountering. Otherwise, those signs would become not looked at. In other words, if you have an emergency ahead on the highway, it's important that people look at what the sign is saying. So, yeah, we've rejected just about any and all requests for, say, giving people information about a 3-foot rule, say, or a 3-foot plus rule.
Well, you're not going to see a cyclist on I-93 or I-95, so you're saying those signs need to be reserved for stuff that is immediately in front of you on the road.
Correct.
Okay, Vicky, thank you for the email. Here's one from Tom in Exeter, and I'll throw this to you, Benji. Would your panel please discuss bike riders who ride 2 and 3 abreast on the road? It frustrates drivers and seems dangerous. Tom, thank you. And go ahead, Benji.
I totally agree. That's in any kind of traffic, that's inappropriate. If you're on a back road, there's no cars there. I mean, biking is a social thing at times. And sure, ride 2 abreast. But as soon as a car comes, usually the standard etiquette, if you're in a group, someone towards the back, a car will be coming. They'll yell, car back. People will jump into a single file and get to the side of the road. And that's really important. And I appreciate that cars are frustrated by that, and they're entirely appropriate to be frustrated by that.
Well, and Benji, we don't have a lot of time, but I did want to ask you just a little bit about your trek to all 56 Episcopal churches in New Hampshire. You biked.
I did.
To all of them. Wow. Did you do that like over the course of a year?
It took about 18 months. It was about 4,500 miles. And I would just get up on a Sunday morning. I would ride to a church. I'd go to church. I'd ride home. There are a couple, like the church in Colebrook. I actually rode all day Saturday, stayed at a B&B. My wife actually met me there. We rode our tandem the rest of the way, another 60 miles up there, went to church, rode back to the B&B. She drove the rest of the way. I rode home. So it was a three-day thing to cover about 300 miles.
Why did you decide to do that?
I had been involved with the Episcopal Church for many years. I actually served on a committee that had me visiting several different churches. I just found it very interesting to see the sameness about the church that I came from in these other churches, but also the different voice. And I was actually riding to a meeting, a church meeting in Hopkinton, on my bike. And on the way, it just dawned on me, you know, I ought to visit them all, and I ought to do it on a bike. So I just came up with this idea and started it. And it was just fascinating, both from a cycling perspective. I kind of got the really long-distance biking bug doing that. And then just, as I said, just hearing these 56 different voices of the Episcopal Church in New Hampshire, it was really cool.
And did you show up in your biking clothes?
I did, and that was really interesting.
with the biking shoes clacking on the
Most of the time, I would give the clergy person advance warning but so they knew what to expect. But sometimes it just was an opportunity. And like, for example, I rode to Whitefield. There's a summer chapel there. And rode through the night. I left at 11 at night and got there at 9 in the morning, actually 9:05. So I show up late into this little tiny church. It's about as big as this room. And I'm sweaty and gross and just covered with grime. And these people are looking at me like, what are you doing here? But then later when they heard what I was up to, you know, you got a very warm reception. So it was very interesting.
Well, and we've put a link to Benji's blog on our website if you want to check out his adventures biking to all the Episcopal churches here in New Hampshire. We also have a link to that ranking that I mentioned earlier, ranking how bike-friendly the 50 states are. It's pretty interesting to check out the different states and what they do. All of you, thank you so much for being here. This is The Exchange on NHPR. Let's check in now with our summer car raffle.
And this is the finale of NHPR's Summer Car Raffle. So that means that you have just days left to get in on the fun here. And we really don't want you to miss your chance to win $25,000 toward a brand new car. It's the fastest, easiest way to get tickets is by heading over to nhpr.org. I'm Hannah McCarthy, and I'm here with Michael Bridley.
And this conversation we're hearing just now, this past hour on The Exchange, what a perfect example of the type of programming you get here at NHPR. You get a lot of the in-depth analysis on important issues, such as we spoke about last week with the Manchester VA. But today we're talking about something a little lighter as well with bike culture here in New Hampshire, bike safety, bike shares. And so it's such a range of topics, and it's that's why you listen to NHPR, because you know The Exchange is going to tackle a variety of issues. We have Senator Hassan on next week. So really a lot of different angles here. And you should a lot of the work that goes into the preparation and production is what you're helping support when you buy your raffle tickets now. It's one for $50 or three for $100. So get your tickets online at nhpr.org or pick up a few by calling us at 1-888-805-6477.
And, you know, one great way for you to join the cycling community or to just continue your biking enthusiasm is to buy a car raffle ticket and maybe win a Trek FX2 fitness bike. This bike is fast, it's fun, it's comfortable. You can use it to run errands. You can use it to just cruise around to get as fit as you want to get this summer. And you know what? The good news is if you win this bike, you'll also get a car rack for your car. So you can take this bike wherever you want to go and bike all around the state if you so choose. We are choosing the winner for this bike tomorrow at 9 a.m. So get your tickets now. You can get those by calling 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org.
NHPR, it's really all about ideas here. And so when you tune in, you know that you're bound to hear from some of today's smartest writers and thinkers. When you listen to The Exchange, you'll hear local authors, activists, and experts talking about New Hampshire schools, state parks, or maybe regional economies. It's a different topic every day. That's part of what makes The Exchange fun. You never know what they're going to tackle. And these are priceless conversations that really open your mind, stretch your imagination, and give you all sides of the debate. You know, you're going to hear a balanced conversation. I know the work that goes into the research that goes into those shows, the booking the guests, they want to make sure they have all sides of the issue addressed and represented at the table and your voice as well by calling in. It's really a great forum, and that's what you're supporting. When you buy your tickets now, you're getting it on the Summer Car Raffle. It's one of our favorite traditions here at the station, Summer Tradition. Buy some tickets by going online to nhpr.org or give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. 805-6477.
And you know, that car raffle has actually been a tradition here at the station for 25 years. So it's this great New Hampshire tradition. It's a great way for you to give to your station. But we are also keeping this raffle open to people from our neighboring states. So Massachusetts, Vermont, and Maine. If you live there, if you listen to NHPR, if you're hearing me right now, you can buy these raffle tickets and enter to win one of these really great prizes. Or even if you're just here vacationing this week and you're, you know, listening to NHPR, learning from us, you can get in on the fun too. You can buy one ticket for $50, three for $100, or six for $150. It's a really good deal. But this raffle ends tomorrow for the Trek bike or Saturday for the grand prize. So get in on the fun now. It's easy to do at nhpr.org or by calling 1-888-805-6477.
And just like you, we have our monthly bills to pay. We have a budget that we keep an eye on, our dues, our program fees. And so when we do pay those bills, that's your money that you support us with going directly into support broadcasting NPR programs like Morning Edition and All Things Considered, supporting programs locally like The Exchange, like Outside In, like Word of Mouth, Civics 101. All of that pool of money that you're supporting helps every little piece of what we do here. And so that's what we are asking you to do, is to step up and help support us. Help support public radio here in New Hampshire. Keep it strong and have some fun. Get on the running for some great prizes. The number to do that is 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
And you know, it only takes a couple of minutes of your time. You can get those tickets now. It's your chance to win big this summer. You can call us at 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org.